thank him for all that he does. Amen. 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 Got a few buttons to push. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to call your attention to, I want to thank God for our musician support. All they always pour out their soul and to praising the Lord, which is an excellent thing. And we thank God for them as well. Amen. And so we're going to go right ahead. I want to talk with you today. This is a kind of a critical subject because, and there are a lot of things associated with it that I think I would like to have you understand today in the time we have as we make preparation to go into a new season. Amen. I believe the church in general is going into a new season. All right. Amen. And so, because we're living in times that were predicted by the prophets of old, the Old Testament, and we're able to see that many of their prophecies have already been accurately fulfilled.
Yes.
And so, as we look today, we want to see some realities of things here today that will let us know what time we're in.
Amen.
And that's a great thing because usually people don't notice. Jesus was concerned when he came and wept over Jerusalem that they did not understand the time of their visitation when he showed up, because he already knew there would be some tragic things that would take place, including his crucifixion, which in some sense is a great tragedy, although it's a great victory in the sight of God that he sent his son to be crucified. And Jesus was aware of that, but still the flagrant ignorance that was over his own people because of a lack of their own understanding of the word that he had given them all the way from the time of Abraham. And it was written down all the way from the time of Moses, which was about 1,600 years before he showed up. And they still did not recognize the time of their visitation. And the reason was they got into religiosity rather than understanding that they were a separated people unto God. And then the sad thing to compound that with is Jesus has come now. God has erected him in the center of all of our lives where we cannot deny him. Really, it's quite obvious that God has given his son because he put him in the middle of your calendar. So it'll be next to impossible for you to just gloss over Jesus and act like he didn't exist.
Amen.
You know, although we got droves of people by the millions and the multitudes who gloss over Jesus as though he didn't exist. And God has configured the world around Jesus.
That's right.
And you cannot deny it. You can try, but it doesn't really work.
Amen.
Because God fixed it where it's 2,015 years as we sit here today since Jesus came. So if you think that's a myth, shame on you. That's all I can say.
Yes.
So people want to say and act like Jesus doesn't exist. But the fact is he does, and God has fixed him in time. So you're going to have to really give a strong reason why you didn't believe in fact you don't. Because
yes.
God has fixed it where you must acknowledge the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Configure the world around you. And yet people are shaking their fists saying there is no God, or there was no Jesus, or he cannot save you. And all the criticisms that come against the person of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They want to talk about we know God, but they want to deny Jesus Christ. And so you and I need to see what time it is. That's just a blindness of the sort that was over Israel at the time when he showed up the first time.
Yes.
Same kind of blindness. I think it was a little less evident in their day than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
People in our time really will have much more of a hard time explaining to God why you didn't trust his son and your birth certificate, every document you signed, your driver's license, and even your tombstone will have something to do with when Jesus came in the world.
Amen.
You cannot avoid it. It's an undeniable fact.
Yes.
And I like to just say that because that's not Bible. Even if you say, well, the Bible's been tampered with. How about the calendar? Did somebody tamper with that?
All right.
Come on now. Unbelief is an ugly sin, and that's the only one for which God will throw you into the deepest, hottest hell, is failure to believe in his son.
Amen.
And so he made it evident and obvious so that everyone can believe, and you ought to at least check it out.
Yes.
Research it. Find out is that true? Why is he in that prominent place in your life? That's the thing that's important today. But we live in a time when Christ is swept under the carpet. He is denied. He is lied on. People say he's this, that, or the other, but not God in the flesh who came into the world to be crucified to pay the debt for the sins that we owe.
Yes.
Everything but that. Well, we have no doctrine of redemption in many of the so-called religions of the world. And they say it's kind of a crapshoot whether you're going to be right with God or not. Wow. Or they say you need to do jihad in order for you to be right with God. Go and kill yourself, and God, who denies you illicit sex on earth, will grant you 72 virgins to have illicit sex in heaven. Wow. That's what they say. And that's so ridiculous, it's unbelievable. You know, and people believe it. They buy into it and go hook themselves up with bombs and run into a place and blow a bunch of people up thinking Allah is going to bless me, when really Satan has ganked you. Yeah. That's the real situation. Yeah, you've been ganked by the devil and you don't realize it. But that's how the devil works. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning, Jesus said, and he is the father of lies. What did you expect? Yeah. Did you expect him to tell you the truth? You know, and so we really shouldn't expect Satan to tell us the truth. He is the one who is a liar from the beginning. Let me not get too far ahead of myself here. But this morning I want see that Israel basically had a similar problem. They had a spiritual blindness that was over them that was unbelievable, because Messiah came exactly in the manner that he promised, that was promised by the prophets.
Amen.
They said, oh, we believe Moses, but we don't believe you, Jesus. Well, Jesus said, well, you know, Moses wrote about me. Abraham looked forward to me. Amen. He went and claimed all that and told it to them in their face. And because of their religiosity, they failed to accept him for who he was. He even came and showed up and showed off.
Yes, he did.
He came in giving sight to the blind. Nobody had ever done that. You know what? Has nobody done that since either? Amen. Let me add. Let me go ahead and add. Folks that are blind, they're blind. And there's not much can be done about it. Very seldom there's some kind of a problem a doctor can fix right now. And you hear about it here and there. But Jesus was on the spot giving sight to the blind, folk who hadn't seen any time in their life. He was healing limbs that were deformed out of the womb 38 years later. We see or hear about stuff like that. And not only did he heal them, but the people jumped up and got the chance to praise God. And they didn't even have to learn how to walk. But somehow they got a little, Jesus, thank you. And they got to parade up through the temple. Now, how did he learn all that? Was that an accident, too? It's one thing to heal your legs. You know what? When you're born, it takes you 2 or 3 years to learn how to walk, much less dance and get up and do the boogie. You see what I'm saying? And so these people who he healed, the man at the beautiful gate, he jumped up, went through the temple praising God. The Bible said he was leaping and jumping and praising God. And it was such a thing, the Jews say, man, is that same man? We've been walking by him for 38 years. We had to drag his cot and lay him up at the gate. And he's jumping up praising the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus, going all through here. You know, it's amazing. They said, that's a notable miracle. We can't deny that.
That's right. Amen.
And so otherwise, they would have just killed the apostles. But God did something like that through his son, Jesus. And when they said, well, how was that man healed? They said, well, it was Jesus, that one you denied.
That's right.
And they gave the glory to Jesus.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And so the fact is, God is always doing miracles. He can change something that's been messed up a long time. You could have been having issues that are way out of order for a long time. But God can fix it. And he showed that. He walked on the water. He stilled the storm. Spoke to a hurricane. Said, stop that. Peace. Be still. And the hurricane said, and went down to nothing. It was a placid sea. And they were peacefully on the sea. And that scared the daylights out of them, because they woke Jesus up. Don't you care, Master, that we perish?
Yeah.
Jesus gets up. What? Perishing? You don't know who you're dealing with. And he gets up and speaks to the wind and the waves and peace, be still. And he probably went right back, got on his pillow and went back to sleep. And they said, my. Now they were more scared of him than they were of the storm. What manner of man is this? They can just get up and speak to the wind and the waves and they obey him. Wow. You know? And so that was basically a situation that they could not really deal with. They were trying to understand, how is it that this man can just be a man? He's got to be more than a man.
That's right. Amen.
He's got to be God.
Yeah.
Who else can do that?
No.
Who
one.
Can give sight to the
no
blind?
One. No.
Who can
one.
Heal the sick
no
and
one.
Raise the dead? Who can go to a tomb after a man has been in there for 4 days? The sisters say, Lord, don't roll that stone away. He's stinking.
Yeah. Because
they know what happens to a dead body.
Right.
And he told them that I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
You believe in me, even though you be dead, yet shall you live.
Shall you live.
And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked her, Lord. So they opened up the stone and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up and came up out of the grave after 4 days.
4 days.
And he waited intentionally so that the glory of God could be revealed.
That's right.
Things of that sort. So Israel had no excuse.
Yeah.
not to believe that Jesus
no
was the Christ.
None.
None whatsoever. But now the prophets, this is what we want to talk about today. I didn't really want to go into all that.
That's all right.
But it's just the fact that we need to see something here. And I want to bring it out for you today because it was put up on my heart that we need to look at the sign of the return of Israel. Right. Even though Israel forsook God, God never forsook them.
Never.
And he still hasn't, not even today.
That's right. Amen.
I got a couple of slides in this footage that's going past up here to show you the size of Israel compared to the United States and even the state of California that you will see. It's some of the smallest real estate on earth. And the reason is that God wanted it to be like that. There it is in respect to California. And then the next one you see, well, not the next one about Israel that you see is going to show you that in respect to the United States. But obviously, if you could fit Israel into California probably 50 times,
wow,
look at how it compares to the United States. So we have this big old mass real estate, and we're all that, we think, in a bag of chips over here. You know, because we have a great empire in the world, and we control and rule everything. And God has got a little speck of real estate like this over in Israel that he calls Israel, that he is awaiting, which is the very trigger for prophetic end time events.
Yeah.
And we're over here thinking, that little thing is not even worth talking about. You know, a lot of people over here who misunderstand God and his intentions.
Yes.
And so I want to highlight that for you this morning because it's something that Jesus taught in his doctrine, and it's something that had been prophesied in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. What's going on right now in Israel is no mystery. It's no secret.
Amen.
God has been teaching it for some time.
Yes.
And they were blind the first time when he came. So we shouldn't be shocked at the ignorance of anyone, much less Israel, as far as receiving what thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
So basically what I want you to see is an Old Testament prophecy first. Here in the book of Hosea, chapter number 3. And I'm just going to deal with these because this is that kind of a message here today. Hosea 3, and this is the entire chapter, the entire third chapter of the book of Hosea, chapter number 3. Then said the Lord unto me, speaking about Hosea, who is the writer, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who looked to other gods and loved flagons of wine. They looked to other gods and loved flagons of wine.
Yes.
So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. And for an homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. So Hosea, the story behind this, he had been told to go and marry a harlot.
That's right.
And basically she kept on playing the harlot all through her life.
Yes, she did.
And so God told him, go back and buy her. She ended up on the slave block being sold because she crumbled to nearly nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he went at that time and purchased her back for 15 pieces of silver and a homer and a half of barley, which was the cost of a slave in those days. And he told her to come on back home. He says, and for you shall not be a harlot anymore. You shall, as he says here in this verse, so I bought her for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half of homer, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days.
Yes.
Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I be for thee. He says, also for thee. In other words, I'm going to keep you no matter what you did to me. That's how God's love is. We mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. I was trying to get you to see that a lot of what we see in our lives is because of God's mercy, because of the fact that God does not change. We're going to talk about that a little next week in Sunday school.
Yes.
I'm trying to prep y'all's mind to be prepared so y'all come in for Sunday school and some of these other times. Because all of these lessons are connected.
Yes, they are.
They are connected. And you need to hear every one so you can see what God has for you.
Amen.
And every one. You don't need to miss a thing.
That's right.
You know, and I think about that song, I don't want to close my eyes. That dude said, I don't want to fall asleep because I miss you, babe. That's what he said, right? You know, I don't want to miss a thing. You ought to feel like that about God's word. I don't want to miss a thing.
I don't want to
miss none of this.
I got you. I don't want to miss a thing.
I got to get it all. Now y'all know
that's
I don't sing, but in either case.
I don't want to miss a thing.
You don't want to miss any of this. It's all good.
Yeah.
And it gets gooder and gooder, if you don't mind using the bad English. But in the case here, Hosea is in a predicament. He's got a situation here that shows you no man wants to be done that way. No woman wants to be done that way.
Yes.
You know, but he's showing you this is how much God loves you, Israel. Even though you turn your back on me, you went after other gods. Mm-hmm. And flagons of wine, you got into the flesh. You just want to satiate the flesh and serve other gods and do things other than to be true to me, the one who has been true to you.
Amen.
The one who called you out.
Yes.
Blessed you, bought you up from nothing. You know, and you want to turn your back on me, but I'm going to get you back and bring you back. Redemption is the picture in this part of Hosea. Mm-hmm. I'm going to redeem you. That means to buy you back again.
Yes.
And so we see a lovely picture of redemption here as we look at Hosea, who goes back and buys Gomer back off the slave block. And so God is letting you know that no matter how far you go, this is no excuse to sin.
That's right.
But it just shows you the depth of God's love for you.
Amen.
God loves you so much that when you have done your worst, he'll still do his best and bring you back. If you can hear the sound of my voice, whatever you did, God is willing to cleanse you.
Yeah.
He's willing to save you.
Yes.
He gave his son for you to purchase you back, to redeem you, to buy you back from whatever life it is that's got you tangled up right now.
Yeah.
He says, I'll buy you back, but this time I paid for with the precious blood of my son. But let's look on. This is a picture of what God was willing to do for Israel. And notice what it says here. Now, this is the prophet's conclusion, verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. And afterward shall the children of Israel return to seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Wow. Ooh, that's a boatload of prophecy.
Yes.
See? So you know what? Since Christ came, they forsook him.
Yes, they
did. It's been 2015 years that they are continuing to forsake Jesus as a nation. And God says in the latter days you'll understand this. Guess what's been going on for the 2015 years? The temple was destroyed in AD 70, taken apart stone by stone. There shall not be one stone here left upon another that shall not be thrown down, is what the scripture Jesus said in his prophecy in the Olivet Discourse in the book of Matthew, chapter 24.
Mm-hmm.
He says there won't be one stone left here upon another that will not be thrown down. AD 70, the Romans came in, destroyed the temple, took it apart stone by stone. There was not a stone left upon another, dismantled it all the way to nothing till it didn't exist anymore. And that was in AD 70. So that was a little short of, let's say about 1900 and some years ago, the temple was destroyed. What does that mean for Israel? As a nation, it meant they do not have a king. They have not had a king since. They don't have a king today. They have a prime minister right now today.
Yep.
They have not had a succession of leaders who proceeded from the loins of David, and the whole line of them was scattered to the four winds. They may not even know what the lineage of any of the people are today, which was critical in the life of Israel, because in order to be a priest, you had to be a son of Levi, came out of the tribe of Levi, like Moses and Aaron and all of those who succeeded from him.
Yes.
So you had to be in the Levitical order, and we have to know where you come from.
Amen.
That's one of the things about the Old Testament, the New Testament saints kind of gloss over. All those genealogies were important because they connect all the way back to a certain line of people that God required to do a certain thing within the nation of Israel. So that's why you got all those who begot, because they're tracing a kingly line and they're tracing a priestly line all the way through the time of Israel.
Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So after that time in AD 70, all of that went to the wayside. They don't have any idea what tribes they belong to. Paul was saying, as he wrote the Philippians, that he knew he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, if you remember that. He says he was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He knew at that time that he came out of the tribe of Benjamin. By AD 70, when they were scattered all over the world, their lineage started to get pretty mixed with Gentiles and all kinds of different things. You see, it was not possible for them to have that cohesive community that they had when they were all together living around the Temple Mount, serving God in the land of Israel.
Yes.
And they called, there was a time that happened several times they were scattered in different times, and some of them lost their connection to their heritage, which was very important if you read the book of the law. And so what I want you to see, though, is that for all these years, Israel has had no king, exactly like Hosea said. They shall abide many days without a king and without a prince. That's the son of a king, right? and without a sacrifice. God said three times a year, Deuteronomy 16:16, you must come to Jerusalem.
All right.
And offer a sacrifice before the Lord your God.
Amen.
And what they haven't been doing it. You know why? There's no temple there to offer a sacrifice in. It was dismantled in AD 70, and there's never been another one since. You see? So they have not had a proper biblical sacrifice for their sin. You know why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and God ended temple worship altogether right then and there. And Jesus said, Father, to thy hands I commit my spirit.
Amen.
After everything was done, and he did everything necessary to fulfill the law and the prophets.
Amen.
So God was ending temple worship even before the temple was destroyed.
Yes.
I don't know what they did. They might have went in and tried to stitch the veil back up and hang it back, and because they wanted to continue to practice false religion.
Yes.
Once Messiah came, everything even that the Jews did that was not to worship Christ, because he said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He came and fulfilled the law. They should have been worshiping Messiah from that moment forward.
Yes.
And yet they continued on back trying to sacrifice lambs and rams and goats and bulls and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that turned that facet of Judaism into idolatry just like all the rest.
Amen.
You see what I mean? Because God had ratified his covenant when his son came, was in the world, showed that he was God, was lifted up on the cross, fulfilling the prophecies of Moses, Isaiah, Zechariah, all kinds of Old Testament prophets. Even Micah the prophet told exactly where he would be born. All of those things, and it was all fulfilled in Christ.
Yes, it was. Amen.
And then he was crucified. Said it's finished. When he said it is finished, he was talking about all the prophecy pertaining to me necessary for the redemption of the souls of men to trust in me. And I make everything right now with the whole earth of all who believe in me and with God the Father.
Amen.
This was God the Son, the only mediator between God and men, lifted up between heaven and earth, paying a bill that we could not pay.
Yes.
Satisfying God by himself on behalf of all of us who trust in him. You see, and the Jews continued on in unbelief, disregarding Jesus Christ. The temple was eventually dismantled according to the prophecy of Christ, which is earlier in this chapter 24. I just cut to the chase for this message today because I knew time would be short. But I want you to see here, they have had no king, and basically they have had no ephod, which was a priestly garment that they wore. And no, without teraphim. Now, that's an angelic set of beings. Teraphim, that word, is a type of angel. And it's in the plural in here. Anything ending in IM in the Hebrew is plural, just so you know. That's a little small footnote.
All right.
So those angels that attended to all that were no longer there. God dismissed them because their time of work was over.
Mm-hmm.
So those angels were dismissed. The Bible says that you who are children of God, guess what? Hebrews 1:14 says all the angels are ministering spirits that minister to you who are the heirs of salvation.
Amen.
Did you know that? That God has angels attending to you?
Yes.
If you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, if you are a child of God, that the angels of God attend unto what you need?
Yes.
You ought to know that. You shouldn't be going around with a small mind mentality.
All right.
And I got to stop right there just for a minute and put a pin. Because God told me something I need to tell you. You need to understand, it doesn't make any difference what kind of facade you worship in. The people of God are the people of God. The church are the called out ones, folks like me and you, who God called you away from what you're dealing with in the world to have special revelation from me. I give you the revelation of the gospel of my son.
Amen.
You know what? Think about this. Think about Jesus' disciples when he came. He came, he called out 12. He didn't call a big old slew of people. He ministered to the 70. He ministered to the multitude. But 12 was the focal point of his ministry when he came. Doesn't take all that. Doesn't take a whole lot. But think about where the 12 were. He preached on a hillside in Galilee. He preached in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went and visited some places that the folks up at the temple never would go, like to the Pool of Bethesda. Where were the Sadducees and the Pharisees down there? They were up in the temple wassing around with robes and candles and flowing this, that, and the other, and tassels and all that, sashaying back and forth, slaying animals, cheating people out of money. And he was down at the Pool of Bethesda. All those people were there, all invalid people laying around the pool, waiting on an angel to stir up the waters. See, because they knew ain't nothing happening up there. That's dead. I might as well go down here to this mystical pool that I heard about. and lay around. Maybe something will happen and I can get in that water when it's stirring up and get healed. You see, stuff like that. But Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes, he was.
He was different places, on the hillside, on a boat. He taught from the beach. Yes. He was different spots, but he was not in some big elaborate building trying to do anything.
That's right.
And his disciples were going, man, you know, we're kind of a little strange. And some of the other folks talked about him.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
They said, like, you know, your master eats with publicans and sinners. Uh-huh. And what do you know? And they tried to scandalize them because his stuff don't look all that productive. Uh-huh. What he's doing doesn't really look all that productive, not to us. Mm-hmm. He didn't study in our schools, and neither did you. And they will put you down.
Yes.
Try to make you feel bad.
Yeah.
You know what? But God is interested in the few whose ear that I have.
All right.
If I got your ear and I got your heart, I can use you.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
Doesn't make any difference how fancy your facility is.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any difference how much education you have.
Right.
You need to understand what I said right here. When you get this in your heart, you know what? You are big to God. You are mighty to God. You have power from God. If you understand his word and his will, you can go forward in his power. You don't have to impress anybody with anything.
All right.
You know, understand God's investment is in you and in your mind and in your heart and in your devotion to him. You see, it doesn't have anything to do with that. So you shouldn't be letting people, well, you know, they might say something about us. Oh, over at St. Timothy. You know, St. Timothy is doing well. And the Spirit of the Lord is right here. Amen. And we're in his word. And his word is in us. And when we go out, we have power from God. So it doesn't have anything to do with our facility. And God can fix that too. He's working on it. I just want to let you know.
Come on.
So don't worry about that. We're going to worry about how deep we are in the Word. And let God worry about where we worship. And all those kind of things. And our facilities and all that. He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Those 12 were ostracized, criticized, all kinds of things by everybody around them. Because they look like some strange people following this weird man Jesus. You know?
Yeah.
And if I'm going to be weird for Jesus, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you don't like it, too bad for you. I'm on the right team. I'm moving forward. And so basically Jesus was teaching. They said, hey, Lord, they had just went in the big temple and we're coming out in Matthew 24. And I'll just hit the top of this. I had said I was going to try to skip it because I want to keep the message somewhat brief, but I just have to go to the beginning of it. Matthew 24 here. I want you to see what's happening here. So you can get it. Matthew 24:1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He just went to the big temple where the hoopla and the razzmatazz and all that was going on. Where he was being talked about under people's breath. Whispering among themselves. Are they getting ready to leave now? You know. And all this kind of thing, which he doesn't say that in the word. I'm just telling you that when people were talking about him, because they looked a little strange following that Galilean carpenter and listening to what he had to say, because it was different than what they taught. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So as he went out and they departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Lord, look at this here. Look at this building. Look at that building. Look at the different parts of this religious edifice. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Like, what? What did he say? And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, now he's out in the Mount of Olives, not even in a building. The disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. The whole thing is people start with deception. You know, looks can be deceiving.
Yes.
You might take a look at somebody and think, oh, they, you know, they couldn't be all that. You know, they don't look like that much to me. Looks can be deceiving.
Yeah.
You know, God can use people you wouldn't even imagine.
That's right.
You know what? He can use you.
Yeah.
You can be a spokesperson for God. You can be a witness for God. God loves you because he gave his son for you, and you are very valuable to God.
Amen.
Doesn't make any difference how you dress.
Yes.
Or where you work. Where you go to school, none of that means a thing. God can use you. He's interested in the individual, the person. And so these 12, they're wondering, boy, he just said they were going to tear the building down, stone by stone. Lord, tell us. And they want to know, when is this going to happen? You see that? And he goes on to give them a whole discourse. I'm going to recommend you read that. But let's cut to the chase. I'm going to verse 32, which is on our printed text. Now, this is the part I wanted to talk about today, because all of Israel forsook Messiah when he came, except a very few The Bible said it this way in John chapter 1, verse 10. He came to his own received him not, but unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. See, so there were some Jews who believed him. The whole early church was mostly all Jews because he came to his own. But his own received him not, John says. Now let's look at Matthew 24, 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. He said, when you see the leaves pop out on the fig tree, that's how you know it's almost summertime. That's a sign. And what, this still happens today. Fig trees do the same thing. Other trees too. When a tree starts to bud, you know, it's springtime.
Yes.
It tells you what time it is. And so he says this. Now, so likewise, ye, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Now, the fig tree happens to be the national tree for Israel. Did you know that? So when you start to see it putting forth its leaves, he says, you know that summer is nigh. It's almost time for fruit to be born. Verily, I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. Whatever generation it is that starts to see Israel coming back to life, which really started in about 1948, according to our time, they became a nation. And now we're starting to see them planning to build the third temple in Israel. Did you know that? We talked about it before. The temple is about to be built. There has to be a temple before Antichrist can be revealed. They're also raising the red heifer in Israel right now. They have rabbis who are set apart. They need the red heifer to sanctify the temple according to the law of Moses. And they're about to come to an end of what Hosea said, that Israel shall return and seek the Lord, their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. So these are the times that we're talking about here. Jesus also said, when you see these things happening to Israel, you know that summer is nigh. He says, so likewise, when you see these things, you know that, he says, that it is near, even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Yeah.
See that? But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, nor the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Amen.
But as for the days, he says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Right.
See that? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So, he says, shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So, he says, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. People have had history of God's judgment.
Yes.
But they act like it's not so.
Uh-huh.
They go on doing what they want to do. They go on waving the freak flag and saying, we don't believe in you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do what we want to do. And we're proud of what we do. And blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. On and on and on. But they fail to see the sign that Israel is turning around. Israel is starting to come back. They are going to eventually worship Messiah. The Bible says so. And it will be at a time that's coming soon. So Israel, God's chosen nation, and even though they have been spiritually disconnected from him ever since their rejection of his son, Jesus Christ, God is still planning to keep all the previous promises that he made to the patriarchs, which have not yet been fulfilled. Did you know that? He promised Abraham all the land from the Mediterranean Sea to the river Euphrates. Israel only has a speck. And they have never possessed all that land. Right now it's occupied by their enemies. Iraq, Iran, all kinds of Arabs that hate their guts and are trying to kill them every day.
Yep.
Building bombs, trying to get bigger weapons so they can just wipe them out in one swoop. They've even been cited as saying, we'd like to push the whole nation right into the ocean. Haven't they said that?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you heard it in the news?
Yes.
You know what? Jesus says, easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for my word to ever fail. It will never fail. Mm-hmm. See, so, and the Bible even says, there's other prophecy, we ain't going to have time to take it up today, that says that in the latter days, basically that this is a sign that we know right now that when we start to see Israel perking up, it's time for us to get our act together.
Yeah. All right.
Like the song says, get right, church, and let's go home. It's time to get right. If you're not right now, trust Christ and get right.
Amen.
So the blindness of Israel is proof that the Bible has accurately predicted their current fallen state and also their future return to God and the salvation he has ordained for all the world by faith in Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. They're going to come to a knowledge of Christ in the latter days, and many of them will be saved.
Amen.
Also, eschatological, that means the end time prophecy, says the church will be taken up out of the mess before the tribulation starts. We don't have time to go into all that today. That's a big subject. But I want you to know, and I wouldn't care one way or the other. I said, if God wants me to go through the tribulation, he can take me through it. If he's going to take me before, that's fine. If he's going to take me after, all these people arguing about, is it before, in the midst, or is it after? I don't care. I just want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to know whenever that train leaves, I got my ticket punched. That's what I'm saying. So that's the way you ought to be. We'll talk about that other stuff later. It's a good subject to discuss. So there are also prophecies about the falling away of the church, which we are witnessing now in our time, which are also indicators that the time of the return of Jesus are drawing nearer day by day, and that the state of the unbelieving world is tending toward more toward the godless behavior, and God as God turns them over to their own devices and judgment. That's what you're seeing now. Yes. We see the world saying, we don't have to worry about all that. We're going to do what we want to do anyway. That's God turning you over to your reprobate mind.
That's it.
Your mind is shot, and you want to do that? Go ahead. Yeah. God will do that for you. He'll let you have your way.
Yeah. Amen.
But that doesn't change anything he said.
Change nothing.
The heavens and the earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. And he loves you. That's why he gave Christ on the cross. We need to understand sin is a dominating thing. Even me and you who are saved have trouble with sin.
That's right, man.
Every one of us. It's hard for me. I'm going to tell you now.
Yes, we do.
Some pastor might not tell you. They have trouble struggling with sin.
Good.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I ain't Pastor so-and-so. No, I got issues. All you do is ask my wife. Pull her to the side sometimes. She'll tell you, I got issues. I'm not 100% perfect. We have trouble with sin. It's going to be a struggle.
Yes, it is.
It's not an easy thing. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want you to think you're doing something strange and nobody else is having that problem but you. No, everybody has a problem. Sin wants to take you deeper down the sewer, and God is busily trying to bring you up closer to him where he wants you to be. And it's going to be a fight. It's not going to be easy. That's why we say, onward Christian soldiers. We don't sing that much more. Yes. You're going on the war. The war is with my flesh half the time.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's not only with the devil, not only with the world, but it's with my flesh.
Yeah.
It's with my corrupted way of thinking.
That's right.
It's with me, the way I divvy out my time, not enough to God and too much to something else.
Yes.
You see, and so the truth be told, we all need some work.
Yes, we do.
And God is working against you to try to get you back where you need to be.
Amen.
And he gave the Son so you don't have to worry about it. That's why I gave you Christ. So that me and you can know you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, and you have access to God. That's what Romans 5 says, right?
Yes.
So you can come and pray and seek my face and seek a closer walk with me. We sing just a closer walk with thee, but I don't know if we necessarily want a closer walk with him, because we want to walk closer with some of the foolishness sometimes
that
we don't want to let go. You know, but God wants to bring you in closer, and if you're not closer, it's not his fault.
That's right.
Put it that way. And we have to make a decision that we are going to move in closer.
Yeah.
I'm going to forsake some of this stuff over here, even though it's enjoyable and I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to forsake it and move closer to God.
Amen.
You know why? Because real love only exists in freedom. God is not going to force you to do anything.
Right.
He wants you to love me because it's right.
Yeah.
And you want to do it. That's when it's real love.
Yes.
It's not real love if I got to put a chain on you and pull you over here.
Yes.
That's not it. You might as well let me go.
Because
I don't love you if you got to chain me down.
Mm-hmm.
No, you need to be free and say, I love you and I freely want to serve you, God. So help me to get free from what I'm struggling with. Help me, Lord. And God will help you.
Help us, Lord.
You know what? You probably have enough evidence right now,
help
if you're really
Lord.
Saved,
yes.
that God has lifted you from some stuff that was awful.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I have my living witness. He lifted me from some stuff that's awful. That had me in chains.
Yes, Lord.
But what about the rest? Why don't you willfully plan in your mind to turn it over to God?
Amen.
And let him lift you. He can lift you. If he took you out of something worse, don't you think he can take you out of something that's not as bad? He can. And so what I want you to see is that it's time for the remnant, that's us who are left, the believers, to make preparation for the coming of the Lord. We need to get ourselves together, start to dedicate ourselves to the word and to prayer.
Yes.
Make time for God. Don't let the world take away all your time.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst one for me is not so much the world, it's the flesh. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do all the time. See? And so I just want to invite you today to return to the Lord. Come on up a little higher. The Bible says, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes.
You've been faithful what? In a few things? Or did God say you was faithful in everything?
Everything.
No, he said you was faithful in a few things, didn't he?
And I'm going to make you ruler over many things. See, you know why? Sometimes we're not faithful in everything because we just, and I'm not making excuses. I'm just being true and being real here. We're not faithful in everything because we don't want to be. That's the bottom line. If you're not doing what God said, it's because you don't want to. There's no other reason. Don't say, oh, Satan is making me do it. No, he's not. No, he's not. Flip Wilson tried that. It didn't work. The devil made me do it. No, that was you. You know, we need to just say it. It was me. I'm the one. Like whoever wrote that song, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one, not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me. You want to blame somebody for what's wrong with us, but really it's me. So at this time you can come. We want to ask you to come for any reason that you might like to come. If you'd like to bring your membership from elsewhere to St. Timothy, we invite you to come. If you're coming as with a letter, we accept the letter of that we can accept you from another church, or as a candidate for baptism, or as a Christian with experience. Maybe you're already Christian in your experience and you'd like to worship with us here and study with us here. We'd like to give you an opportunity at this time to come. Amen. Come as you are. You don't have to worry about making any changes. Just come, let us know you want to be a part of our church family. And we take it seriously to train you and educate you in the Word. As long as you dedicate the time, we're not going to come to your house stalking you and all that. But if you come to the church, we will minister to you and help you learn the Word. Amen. And we hope that you will. We hope you make a decision today to deepen your dedication to the Lord. And that you understand your need for it. I know I need it. I need it bad. You know, I need to get in a room and just absorb myself in prayer and in books and in the Word and let God saturate me. Because he can wash some of that stuff out that got you holding on to something you need to let go. You know, and so I don't mind. I'm not ashamed. I will tell you, I'm like Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Remember, God paid everything you owe. So that you owe him nothing if you trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. He wanted you to have that security to know that I love you this much that I gave my Son to cover you. You're covered. If you trust him and believe that I raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, that's the gospel. So we operate under the cover of the gospel. See, and but God still, that doesn't mean he wants me to stay the way I am. He saved me to sanctify me. He saved me to deliver me. He saved me to make me a light in the midst of darkness. He saved me to proclaim his goodness and his mercy and his death until he comes at the Lord's table. He saved me to share the knowledge I have with others. See, so that's the reason he saved you. He saved you to improve you and to use you as an agent of change for other people who don't know him.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And so that's what we do here. And so we want to give you an opportunity to join us at this time and realize that the clock is ticking. You know, it can happen at any second. Every time I hear something like that in the news and see them making the steps to bring things into the order that God said they would be in, that lets you know. Jesus said, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. So let us give you one more opportunity to come.
Come to Jesus while you have time. Come. Come to Jesus, make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come, come to Jesus while you have time.
Done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. Thank you for your attention.
Yes.
Amen. Hope you did get a good word from the message.
Amen.
Amen. If you can take